This episode is presented by Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood Health Centers are the nation's leading provider of sexual and reproductive health care, including cancer screenings, wellness exams, STI testing and treatments, birth control, abortion, and more. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to providing access to the care, information, and resources people need to make their own decisions about their bodies and their futures. But the Trump administration and Congress are trying to take away that freedom. They defunded Planned Parenthood Health Centers in an effort to cut off affordable medical care for millions, especially low-income Americans who rely on Medicaid. In an ongoing affordability crisis, stripping people of high-quality, affordable health care is yet another cruelty inflicted by this out-of-touch administration. Planned Parenthood has never and will never stop fighting for everyone's fundamental right to quality health care, regardless of who you are or where you live, no matter what. They need supporters like you in this fight. Donate at PlannedParenthood.org/defend. That's PlannedParenthood.org/defend.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
I'm John Lovett, an underdog you root against. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. On Tuesday, President Trump was, get this, honest, when asked if Americans' economic struggles were a factor in negotiations with Iran.
To what extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about
I don't think about anybody. This is awesome. Not only is this damning admission going to run in ad after ad all across America from now until the midterms, it also sounds like Trump is having genuine breakthroughs in therapy. But hey, to be fair, who has time to think about Americans' financial situation in the middle of so many decorating projects? Last week, Trump addressed a crowd of supporters by phone at the unveiling of a 22-foot golden statue of himself at his own Miami golf course. Look at that fucking thing. Whispered the Antifa general to his 24 soldiers inside of the statue, "Don't strike until you see the whites of their golf balls." The $450,000 statue, nicknamed Don Colossus, was funded by a group of crypto investors, of course. More like Sam Bankman, Frida Kahlo, am I right? The ceremony was led by Pastor Mark Burns, reportedly Trump's informal spiritual advisor. Trump's formal spiritual advisor is, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu. Said the pastor of the giant golden statue, "Let me be clear, this is not a golden calf." Burns continued, "This statue is a celebration of life. It is a symbol of resilience, freedom, patriotism, strength, and the willpower to keep fighting for the future of America. But most importantly, a symbol of Donald Trump," said Donald Trump. Speaking of blasphemies that would make Moses shit his robe, Trump proudly announced that the reflecting pool on the National Mall will be painted American flag blue. Yeah, are you hearing about this for the first time?
Yes.
Yes, he's drained the reflecting pool, and they are painting it what he's calling American flag blue. It is currently a kind of slate gray because it makes it kind of inky and reflective so that one can reflect as the water reflects in the fucking reflecting pool. But don't worry, if you're stressed about gas prices, we have amazing news. We're painting the reflecting pool American flag blue. Worried that your boss keeps asking you and Claude the same questions and then comparing the answers to see who's better? Don't worry, we're painting the reflecting pool American flag blue. Did your doctor delay treatment for an ectopic pregnancy in order to consult with the hospital's lawyers risking permanent infertility? Well, hang tight, little lady. We're painting the reflecting pool American flag blue. Did your cousin just get back from a round-the-world cruise and now has what sounds eerily like a rat's cough? Well, fear not, because we're painting the lightning pool American black, fucking blue. A week earlier, Trump posted this AI-generated image of himself floating shirtless in the updated reflecting pool with all of his pals. Oh, but when I print out an AI image of my coworker shirtless and post it by the coffee machine, it's an HR violation. Sorry, Hallie, for giving you perfect knockers. Can't make a joke anymore. To paint the pool, Trump reportedly awarded a $6.9 million no-bid government contract to a firm that worked on the swimming pool at his Virginia club. Said Trump to reporters, "I have a guy who's unbelievable at doing swimming pools." That's his quote. Trump doesn't swim personally, of course, as he's never gone 14 days without having active diarrhea, but still, it's a beautiful facility. It doesn't mean this contractor is right for the job. The Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool is massive. How massive? Well, it's roughly 60 times the size of the pool at Trump National in Virginia. I'm not guessing, by the way, at a crucial moment today when Hallie, Sarah, and I were working in silence, working on this very show, I was secretly in Google Earth measuring the pools. Nevertheless, a White House spokesperson told the New York Times that, quote, "this project is now being completed at Trump speed to ensure the iconic landmark is totally restored ahead of the 250th celebrations." They got the name Trump Speed from the bottle of loose pills in the top drawer of the Resolute desk. But then on Tuesday, the New York Times published a report titled, "Reflecting Pool Repairs Appear Uneven and Behind Schedule." Uneven and behind schedule? What is this, every pilot script I ever wrote? The project would have been done by now, but Trump kept getting in the way, gazing longingly at the beautiful creature reflected back at him in the water surface, trying to grope it. The project that Trump initially claimed would cost just $1.8 million has now ballooned to $13.1 million. "Cool, amazing," said a colon cancer researcher whose funding got canceled last year via an email sent by a Doge staffer with the subject line, "Smell you later." A preservation group is also suing the administration, claiming that the dark gray achromatic basin was not incidental to the design, it was the design, and that the new coloration will cause the pool to resemble a large swimming pool rather than the reflective civic landscape it was designed to be. Even worse, Trump wants to add a sign that says, "Welcome to the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Ool. Notice there's no pee in it. Let's keep it that way." Trump also posted an image of himself on the $100 bill. I actually think it's fitting. You'll be able to use one to buy a gallon of gas. But who among us hasn't focused on petty grievances and home improvement projects to avoid facing the raging chaos and unsalvageable failures in our lives? Before loveless marriages result in divorce papers, they often produce perfectly organized hall closets. Something to think about. In a bracing piece for The Atlantic, Robert Kagan, a longtime neocon and advocate for U.S. military interventions, wrote, quote, "It's hard to think of a time when the United States suffered a total defeat in a conflict, a setback so decisive that the strategic loss could be neither repaired nor ignored. Responded America, challenge fucking accepted. Don't you dare question our capacity to ignore a problem. Gas is $6 a gallon, wildfire season lasts from September to July, and GMC just announced a 6,000-pound pickup truck with a 6-foot-high grill called the Kid Catcher. We can ignore a problem." Trump ripped up the Obama-era Iran deal, the JCPOA, claiming it was the worst deal ever made. He then launched a war that upended the global economy and greatly improved Iran's strategic position. And so Trump cannot accept a deal that offers Iran better terms, and Iran cannot accept a deal that offers worse terms. But don't worry. Pete Hegseth has a plan. Not to resolve the conflict or reopen the Strait of Hormuz or explain how additional bombing would improve our circumstances. No, NBC News reported on Tuesday that the Pentagon is considering renaming the Iran war if the ceasefire collapses from Operation Epic Fury to Operation Sledgehammer. They renamed it what? Said a terrified Iranian general. Reopen the Strait of Hormuz. This is just like when I changed my rap name in high school from Algebra to Dr. Quadratic. Suffice it to say, it did not change the reality on the ground. But Operation Sledgehammer is a nice little pit stop on our path to the war's final name, Trump's Vietnam. All right, we have got a great show for you tonight. And we will be right back with Melissa Etheridge.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Tommy John. What do I love about Tommy John? They're the most comfortable. Tommy John underwear is soft and durable. They're breathable and lightweight for all-day comfort. I'm wearing them right now. They got a curved pouch designed for comfort and control to support and flatter your natural shape. The Stay Put waistband ensures your Tommy John's...
It's a big pouch.
Big pouch. Yeah, you keep your you keep extra stuff in there, you know? Tommy John's won't roll, bunch, pinch, or leave marks, and their unique quick draw fly provides a horizontal opening for fast, flea, easy access when agent calls. It's a big pouch. I love Tommy John's. I'm wearing them right now. I just did they last forever, but I actually just wanted them all to be the same kind of Tommy John. I had a mix. They have the cool cotton. They have the second skin version. I really like the second skin version, so I just got a bunch of those. They're just the most comfortable, and I wear them every goddamn day. Go to TommyJohn.com today and save 25% off your first order with code LOVEIT. I wear the trunks because I think for me, boxer, I'm short. The boxer briefs are too long, so I just get the trunk kind, and they're great.
I like the trunks too.
Maybe the square cut. I don't know what the difference is, but I like the ones that are kind of boxer brief, but a little shorter. Comfort perfected. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout and upgrade your essentials today. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Chime. Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer high-rewarding, fee-free banking built for you. They're not like traditional old banks that charge you overdraft and monthly fees. They have thousands of fee-free ATMs because why would you pay to get your own money? You wouldn't because you're not crazy. Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards, all with no fees ever. Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service, which means real humans answering whatever questions you have 24/7. With a Chime savings account, your money grows faster with a 3.75% APY rate. That's 9 times higher than the national average. Get 5% cash back on the Chime card in a category of your choice, like gas or groceries. Plus, you get premium travel perks like airport lounge access, 24/7 travel concierge included with your Chime cards. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/loveit. That's chime.com/loveit. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Gracing our stage in just a moment. But first, if you are a friend of the pod, thank you. If you're not, now is an even better time to join, in addition to even more Pod Save America content, like the Only Friends podcast and Open Tabs newsletter. You get an ad-free breaking news feed, and you're supporting independent media that you can trust. Now, you'll also get Crooked Con perks. They include dibs on pre-sale seats for our live Pod Save America Love It or Leave It and Strict Scrutiny kickoff shows on November 5th and 6th. You also get discounts on the November 7th all-day Crooked Con, which comes with many more benefits at that day's event to be announced, potentially also to be determined. If you're not a paid subscriber and want the best Crooked Con experience, please join Friend of the Pod right now. Get all the info you need at crookedcon.com. We cannot wait to see you there. And Los Angeles, come see us live every Tuesday and Thursday here at Interwoven Studios. Every single week, we make fewer fuck-ups. Myself included, we're really figuring it out together. It's awesome. Upcoming guests include Ginger Minge, Rachel Bloom, Todd Glass, Aparna Nancherla, and many, many more. So go to crooked.com/events for tickets. And now, I would stand inside my hell and hold the hand of death just to welcome my next guest, the one and only Melissa Etheridge. Hi, thank you for being here.
We're a hugger, if that's all right.
And thank you for being here.
Hey. Oh. Hello.
Wow. So nice to have you. Yeah, it's got a sink.
This is a sink stage.
That's an old couch. I bought that at a store.
Oh.
I just went to a store and I bought an old couch.
It's lovely.
It was at a nice vintage store in Los Angeles. I went looking for a couch for this very, very stage.
Any quarters in there?
There was no money in there. So I would say that you have been one of America's preeminent lesbians for a generation.
Wow! Thank you.
You got your start in lesbian bars, and The lesbian bar is an endangered species. Indeed. What happened to the lesbian bar?
You know, we like to drink until we're about 30, and then we kind of stop because it's we don't like waking up like that anymore. So it kind of once online dating came, and because the bar used to be the center of the community, you didn't meet any gay people or assume they were gay unless you went to a bar and saw them. It was like the only place. There was no internet. There was nothing. You had to find the bar.
Mm-hmm. And now you can
and
find
now you
lesbians.
Can find us everywhere. Good Lord, we're just everywhere.
You're everywhere. I forgot until I was thinking about our conversation that you were part of the Ellen coming out episode in 1997.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what the vibe was like on that set. Like, what was it like when you're shooting this thing? It's months before it's going to come out. It must have felt like you were part of something.
Yeah. I had been... have been friends with Ellen for years, met her when she was, before any television shows or anything, and it was a pleasure to watch her career and her decisions, that led to that. We went out to dinner one night, and she goes, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to come out. And I'm like, no. She goes, my character on the show is going to come out, and we're going to call it the puppy episode. So nobody, it was a secret. It was called the puppy episode. No one was to talk about it. No one was to say anything. And then each of us, man, she had Oprah on. There were so many people in that episode that they just created this massive thing that you couldn't look away. You had to pay attention to it. And when it was aired, there were crowds gathered just to watch this historic thing.
So cool. Hey, are all famous lesbians either friends or enemies?
Yes.
Really?
No.
You have ones that you just think are fine?
Yes, the ones I haven't met.
Oh, so but that was... Wait.
Wait.
So are you either friends or enemies with all the famous lesbians you know? Do you have any as enemy lesbians? Are there enemies
I don't spend time with thinking about enemies. There's those that I don't really see much anymore. How about that?
Because I think of lesbians, and I'll tell you, I'm a gay person, and just as my experience of lesbians, which is like, lesbians to me are the, like, when someone says, like, my dog is really sweet, but... give her a minute to warm up. You know what I'm saying? That's my general experience.
About lesbians? We're like, very sweet. No, we're just... Well, same with gay men. Most of you, you're just all yummy inside. And, you just want to be loved and liked. And a little sarcasm in there, too.
Yeah, I don't agree.
No, okay. All right, so maybe so.
So when you came out in 1993, that's 4 years before Ellen comes out, were you... Did it feel like you were telling people an open secret? Were you surprised how people were surprised by it? What was it like to do it in that moment?
Back then, in the early 90s, it was don't ask, don't tell. Seriously, across everything. They really just, it was like, okay, you exist, but don't tell anybody and we won't ask you. So the press never asked me. I was discovered in a lesbian bar. I said to myself, if anyone asks me, I'm going to be truthful. But I went through three albums, and it wasn't until the very end of the third album that Barry Walters from The Advocate actually was like, were you going to do something? And I said, I think I am. Yeah, I'm going to come out. So it was a don't ask, don't tell. So I needed to step up and say, hey, I'm gay.
Were any of your fans surprised? Like, what was the fan reaction? Because as much as it's an inside secret among, like, people that, cover music and entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, you're traveling the country and parts of the country where people weren't talking about being gay.
Yeah, I had an underground, I obviously had a lesbian following, even from the first album. But I also had a very strong male following of guys that just like rock and roll music and loved it. And for the first few years before I came out, I had a big following of that. And then I think when I came out, I think I broke a few hearts. I do, just a few fans. But now they actually they come out and see me now, and they, it's like they have permission. It's like, okay, she's gay, but I can still like her music, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
It's like the evil eye moved to trans, and now being lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, it's mild, yes, compared to.
It's a mild case. Yeah, it's a mild case. Right. Now, you won an Oscar for your song "I Need to Wake Up" for Al Gore's "An Inconvenient Truth." Given that we never did, in fact, wake up, do you think you should give the Oscar back?
No, I think we are. I think waking up looks different to everybody, and I think we're more awake than we know.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're more awake than you know? Because you're asleep. You know what I mean? How would I know if I'm awake if I don't think I'm awake?
You would feel it. Oh. Yes. You would actually feel. It would feel different than the fear that you wake up with every day.
I do wake up afraid every day.
Yeah.
And like kind of a little nauseous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so you told a story about how Taylor Swift discovered the guitar in part because they were listening to you play the guitar, and you and Taylor came and told you about that, right?
Yes, it was it's something that I use forever with my children, because they're like, well, you know, who are you, Mom? What, you know, you're not Taylor Swift, and you know, and I mean, years ago, not now that they're older, they respect my career and everything, but back then they never heard me, they didn't know what I did, and so Taylor came up to me early in her career. It was probably at least 10 years ago, if not more. We were both being honored for something. She had only put a couple albums out, and we were backstage, and she came over to me, and you know, she's just one of the nicest people on earth. And she just came over, and I said, oh, I'm a big fan. My daughter's even a bigger fan. You know, can we take a picture? And then she said, you know, my parents took me to see you when I was 11 years old, and that's why I learned to play the guitar. And so I will tell that to my kids' friends, anybody under the age of 30, I will tell that to.
When did your kids go from not appreciating you as a musician to appreciating you as a musician? When did that happen?
Well, it kind of happens right around. It's not that they didn't appreciate it, they just didn't care. It, you know, it doesn't. Children are very, you know, which is a good thing. They're very self-minded. And just as long as, you know, there's food on the table, and everything was going fine, and it was until I think the girls they started listening to me before the boys. The boys just still don't have anything to do with me. They're just like, you go do what you want. I respect it. Thank you very much for it, but they're just not fans of me. You know, I know that's okay. They were actually a little impressed that I was coming on your show.
So. Wow.
Yeah, all right, so there you go.
You know what? Maybe they're smarter than
okay,
I thought.
Okay, see? Right. Yeah.
So you have an album out, Rise, right?
Yes, yes.
What is the energy like at your tour shows? And listen, I've been to Brandi Carlile shows, and I had this idea that on some level, the kind of biker lesbians at your shows might be menacing to the theater lesbians at the Brandi Carlile shows, but you might unite to take on the Gen Z bi girls at Boy Genius or Muna.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I've got, we lovingly call them the Donnas, because in every group, in every like meet and greet group I've ever had, in every group of at least five lesbians of Etheridge fans, one of them is named Donna. So it's a fact, and so we call them the Donnas, and they will save the world. Actually, they are some of the Melissa Etheridge fans are some of the deeply kindest people I've ever met. It's true. See, there they are.
But they could take the
brand. They could. Yeah. They would absolutely. Yeah, if I was in danger, they would. It would be blood. Yes.
Yeah. No. I feel like I'd feel very safe.
Yes. 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 Show. You
like,
should.
Like,
yes.
You know, flat tires. Yeah. Ruffians. I think you're just safe.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that, which I think brings us to our game. There's no wrong way to be gay, except for however Tim Cook is currently doing it. But Melissa, it's time for a game. We're calling Like the Way I Subaru.
I love it. I love it.
I am going to read off a lesbian stereotype. You confirm whether it's true or false. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Do lesbians love Subarus? True or false? Is that a fair? Is that a true or false stereotype?
Well, I need to tell you why we love Subarus.
Oh, please. I want to know.
Okay. Back in 1990s, early 90s, there were barely any out people. And the only couple that were out, the lesbians, were the sports, was Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova. And I know we've got lots of issues now in that, but the truth was they were out, and they were mentors to me. Now, no one would touch an out lesbian to do an ad. Subaru, who was kind of floundering in the what is a Subaru world, said, you know what? We are going to go for the lesbian community. And they put, when they put Martina in an ad for Subaru and they paid her money, we said, yes, we will buy a Subaru. We will show you that making that decision economically was a plus. And we started buying Subarus and we have not stopped because they supported us back in like 1991, 92. It was very, very big back then.
That's cool. Can I admit something to you?
Yes.
So I'm engaged to a trans person mm-hmm. who, for the first part of their life, was basically a lesbian. And now they're a trans person marrying me, and I'm very confident in our relationship. However, we already have season tickets to Angel City, the women's soccer team.
Oh,
and so I've really drawn the line at getting... I really don't want us to ever get a Subaru because I'm afraid it's catching. They'll get behind the Subaru and they'll remember who they once were.
Oh, you know? For and them. Oh, I thought you. No, I thought you were going to become a lesbian.
No.
Okay, no.
I don't think it's... Right. No, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm more worried that... I'm less worried about me becoming a lesbian and more them reverting.
No.
And I don't know why I think the Subaru would be the thing to do it. But I do feel like we have season tickets to the women's soccer team. We're driving.
You're on your
Subaru.
Way.
What am I? What, playing with fire.
You're
over
on
there.
Your way. Yes. It's dangerous. Look out.
Are Next you, thing we are know, you... they got a carabiner on their waist. You know, it's scary. It's scary. Next lesbian stereotype, U-hauling. This is when two women start dating and very quickly they're renting a U-Haul to move in together.
Yeah, it's true. I can't deny it. Yes, we loved to make homes. We have transformed cities across the world. We find something that's broken down and, you know, it looks horrible. Oh, we can fix it up. Then, you know, this is like the second date, you know, and you're going to fix that apartment up, bring all the stuff, make a home out of it. It's just, we really like to do that. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
What an interesting culture.
Yeah. We get guilty with sex. It's, you know, we have sex with someone, we're like, oh, all right, that's it. We're going to be with him forever.
So that's an interesting point you made, which is, so I have found, when I was in my youth, I always felt like, because the expectation that men have a masculine relationship to sex, there's a kind of, like, the sexual dynamic in, like, gay bars is you can have basically kind of emotion-free sex without love. Like, there's no commitment involved, and everybody can just have fun and shake hands and go home, or whatever people do. I don't know. I wasn't really part of it. But I feel like there are men who have a feminine relationship to sex in that they have the emotional connection, and they want something more like a relationship before they have a sexual relationship, but it's a little less... When men date women, that's obvious who will tend to have which role, but in gay world, it's less true. In the same way that there, in the gay land, that there are men who are like, I don't want to have easy sex, that doesn't work for me, how often are there lesbians that are like, where are the bitches that just want to fucking go home?
Yeah, you know, I haven't been in the single world in a long, long, long time, but I have witnessed it, and I think that there are some pretty fierce young women out there that are doing the... I'm going out tonight and whoever and whatever. I think that's not as rare as it was when I was in the dating pool, which was a long time ago.
Carabiners, why do lesbians need them?
I have no idea. That I don't understand.
It's so strange. Why is wanting to go down on your friend mean you have more keys? Doesn't make any sense.
We don't like purses. So it's like, how are we going to carry our stuff, our keys and stuff, you know, and the Swiss Army knife and the things we need.
Right.
You know, so I think that's where that comes from. But I don't personally have one. Sorry, I can't help you with that one.
Hairy armpits.
Yeah, well, that I got. Yeah. Yes, sir. There is no reason to shave your armpits. I just do not... get it.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's not because it's not for you. It would be for the man.
Yeah, or it's for someone else. It's certainly not for me. Yeah. It's annoying. Anyway, we won't go into that.
We don't need to go into it.
We don't need to get into that. No, I don't. Yeah, so I remember that. But I do remember the first time when I was a child in the 60s where I saw a woman with hairy armpits, and I was like, you know, just because I hadn't seen it. But then I was interested.
Was that the moment you realized that?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I was like, oh, shocking. Oh, look at her. She has hairy legs. What does this mean?
Next stereotype, if you need a lesbian in a hurry, you can find one at Home Depot.
Ah, probably, yeah. Like I said, we like to fix things. We like to make homes. And we love to, I mean, if there's something broken in the house, oh, if you've got a lesbian, forget it. We'll fix it in a minute.
That's so cool.
It is.
You're the first one I've met, and so far I'm into it. No, I'm kidding. And final stereotype, fans of Melissa Etheridge.
Ah, that's true. Yeah. Yes, what? Yes, lesbians like my music. What? Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
There's nothing else to
There's
say.
There's no, there it is, yeah. You know what a lesbian army is called, right?
What's a lesbian army called?
It's a Melissa Etheridge.
It's a perfect place to leave it. We will be right back with the one and only Bosco. Melissa Etheridge, everybody.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Hims. You've got weight loss goals, but hitting them is another story. Enter Weight Loss by Hims. It's designed to support you in losing weight and keeping it off. And Hims now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hims, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first ever and only GLP-1 available in a pill for weight loss, so there's no needles needed. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider. They'll determine if treatment is right for you. And if prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Hey, this is a delicious pie. Where'd you get the recipe from? Oh, the boner pill people. With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple. They give me boners and great ideas for how to use extra soup. You know what to do with all this extra chicken.
Now I know.
With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/loveit to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's Hims, HIMS.com/loveit. Hims.com/loveit. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required, a fee not included, and billed separately. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit Hims.com. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Upwork. Hiring help shouldn't be a headache or a drain on your budget. Upwork makes it easy to hire specialized freelancers quickly so you can get the expertise you need now without weeks of recruiting. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across the web in software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. Grow your business and get fast access to specialized talent across 125-plus categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and hit the ground running. Thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. It's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready for your business. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's the diva herself. It's Bosco.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. Hello. Lovely.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's my job. Yeah. Thank you.
It's quite a far way down for me.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. You look stunning.
Thank you. It's my job and God-given talent. Thank you.
And those are the two things you know.
Absolutely.
Effort and talent. After that, it's just luck and money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having rich parents. Which is highly recommended, but not always available. The Marvelous Miss Gender.
So true.
It's about your alter ego's plan to turn everyone trans.
Mm-hmm.
That's your new stage show. How would one turn someone trans?
Okay, so here's the thing. I have a ray gun that does it for me. It's delightful. And the thing is, when you turn trans, you just... Like, if I were to transgenderify you right now, you would not be a trans woman. You would be a trans man. And you'd be able to check your DMs, and you'd find a lot of Rue Girls in them. And I promise that's a great thing. Say hi to Sophia for me. I think it's really, really fun to call out what the media is currently saying about trans people and saying that they're right. They should be worried, and they should stop us if that's an option.
No, it's such an important point that people are afraid to make. This is the turning everyone trans is the goal.
Oh, absolutely.
That is the plan.
Oh, world domination, turning everyone trans.
Now we haven't really cracked the exact formula yet, but we got scientists working on it.
We sure have, and we're going to crack a few eggs along the way.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg goes down a very long elevator to the basement where there's a meeting of the
And then he finds the non-binary advisor that stole the luggage.
Yes,
and they put on lipstick for each other.
The non-binary Biden advisor who stole the luggage was for a time our favorite villain. An incredible Melissa Etheridge. You know about this?
No,
this is the best story of all time.
The non-binary representative of the Biden administration was stealing luggage from the airport, opening it, and then wearing the outfits in public events.
And part is they're like Nigerian, like beautiful fabrics that a white person should not be touching and or wearing. But it is one of the craziest stories.
Wow.
Well, look, and it's, you know what? Queer people can be villains.
Yes. It's so true.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
Think about how many suitcases you would have to steal from LAX to get one that has beautiful custom gowns.
That fit you. That is so gaggy. I think non-binary people should steal more. I think that they did nothing wrong and they should continue.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where they are at this point, but I do think they're like the Rachel Dolezal of non-binary people. And I really think they should be allowed to run for office again.
Sure. Can't do worse than some of the other Democrats we've had out there. Now, there's nudity in the show.
Hopefully.
But your inspiration was also Batman, like the Adam West Batman. And
oh, yeah, famously filled with nudity.
And Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Also filled with nudity.
How did you get everything in there? The nudity, the Batman, the Pee-wee Herman?
I think my favorite thing about creating is pulling from so many different sources that an alchemy happens, and you're like, this feels familiar, but I've never seen anything like this. So that's what I'm trying to do with all of these references.
Do you remember when Batman is running around with the bomb on the beach and he has to, on the boardwalk, and he has to run and find a place to throw the bomb, but he can't find a place to throw the bomb because everywhere he looks there's like a nun or a children hanging, and then he finally finds a place to throw the bomb and it explodes right at the perfect time. Remember that?
I don't. However, that's the best bit I've ever heard.
I do.
He looks
pretty silly.
It looks like it's go fun.
I like that. That's like Pepperidge Farm remembers, but Melissa Etheridge. Yeah.
I remember.
Now, you also host Spell Slayers, a YouTube show about Magic the Gathering. I have in my home a box of Magic cards that I believe has not been touched since 1999. So there may be valuable cards in there.
I believe it. No, it is such an old card game. Well, not old, but like it's been around longer than almost any other card game other than like playing cards. It came out, I believe, 1992, 93, so 30 plus years. And it is such a lovely, lovely pastime of mine that I've decided to monetize and turn into business to torture myself.
You do the show with Irene the Alien, fellow drag queen.
I do. Yeah, it's not my fault.
And listen, have you ever played Magic the Gathering?
I bought the game for my son once, and then he always told me he wanted to learn it because he heard it was good, but he never did. So I still have a box in my toy chest.
Will you play Magic the Gathering with me, Melissa?
Sure.
So much fun.
I'd love to.
Oh, it would be an absolute delight. It's
yeah?
my favorite game.
Wow, cool.
It's also a really interesting game because I find out, like, crew people, whenever I go on tour, also play Magic the Gathering, so I bully them into playing with me, and then they have to lose, otherwise they get fired.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure you have the right balance of mana, of resources, and defensive and offensive creatures. And then think about what kind of deck you want. Do you want a fire and ice deck? Do you want? You think about that. Do you want a black and white deck? A lot of different ways you can go. I think that it hasn't changed since I last played.
Oh no, it's great. But now they've added neo pronouns, so now there's Zer type decks.
Wow, Magic the Gathering went woke.
Oh yeah, stayed woke. Been woke.
That's great.
Found woke.
And there are characters now in Magic the Gathering that are considered to be queer characters, right?
Absolutely, by me in particular.
Is it wishful thinking or is it canon?
It is canon. It's canonical. There are queer characters within Magic the Gathering, the universe. This is going to shock you. A lot of trans women play and create Magic the Gathering, so we do try to insert ourselves wherever possible.
We're just laughing.
Not too much.
How can we strengthen the bond between trans women and lesbians? How do we build that bridge?
Oh, I think that bridge is built already. Oh, baby.
Yes, with our tools. Yes, with our tool belt. Yes.
With our carabiners combined.
Yes, yes,
for sure. Oh. I think there's an entire the transbian sect of trans. Is very, very powerful. You can find them on Reddit. And I don't know. I feel like lesbians and trans women are natural born allies.
Absolutely. There's some, you'll find some, you know, conflict in
social media and
a little bit social, but
Great Britain.
Generally, I mean, back when
conflict on the internet,
you know,
Great Britain,
that
two
sort of
backwaters,
thing.
Basically,
exactly. Yeah. But we historically, we very much, I mean, it was lesbians in the trans community at Stonewall that started it all there.
No, it was a couple hot white guys.
It was like no hot white guys, the Juvederm.
Yeah, that was really beautiful. I saw the film, and that's what I remember from the film.
Yeah, no,
there were lesbians that were like bringing those guys like food to eat.
No,
you know,
no,
were, like,
see,
they were getting the coffee.
Yeah, yes, getting the coffee, that kind of thing.
No,
the leaders were the white guys.
No,
beautiful
white
men.
No,
that's
no.
Who led.
Nope.
I'm sorry, but
no.
That's the gay rights movement has been led by
no.
Specifically a subset
no.
Of handsome, rich
no.
White men. That's the movement. I'm
no.
Am I crazy?
Right, yes,
yeah.
You are.
Like
this
Andy
is it
Cohen
right here.
Threw the first brick at Stonewall.
I know what you're saying just doesn't feel true to me.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I think
I was there.
I wasn't
a Stonewall. I was alive though. But
I think we've always kind of been like the most vocal
yeah.
like the gay subtypes. Trans people in general, not
yeah.
Take it just to trans women, but like trans people in general and like lesbians have kind yeah. Of always been the ones shouting from the rooftops whether people wanted to hear it or not.
That's right.
That was nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. The springtime thaw is finally here. Flowers are blooming. Days are longer. We're saying yes to more plans and finally getting outside, running, walking, just moving again. It's the perfect time to upgrade your everyday go-tos with Bombas. Bombas sports socks are super comfortable and designed with sports-specific tech for running, cycling, yoga, hiking, you name it. I love using Bombas. I wear the Bombas sports socks, the running socks all the time. I've got the vintagey ones. Wear them all the time.
They're super comfy.
They're a game changer, you know? They're great. Bombas are cushioned where you need it, sweat wicking, and they don't slide around so you're not constantly adjusting your socks. And with the weather warming up, it's time to add Bombas' sandals into your footwear rotation. Their Friday slides, I have those too, are made with this super lightweight and waterproof EVA that's soft but still supportive. I warmed up Pilates this morning. There's a little car accident in the parking lot.
Uh-oh.
A little fender bender.
Do you think the Bombas...
I got in safely because I was moving, gliding on my slides.
There it is.
Comfortable, perfect, just slip on and go, whether you're running errands, lounging outdoors, or just wanting something comfy and casual to wear. And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/love it and use code love it for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/love it and code love it at checkout.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.
And we're back.
Melissa Bosco, Magic the Gathering. It sits in the middle of the Venn diagram between gay and nerdy, but does its monsters. Let's discuss in a little game we're calling Magic the Gathering.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That has like a quite a bit better ring than Faggot the Gathering.
Yes, yes. Faggot the Gathering. Oh, that's good too. Where? That was just sitting right there on the table.
I'm allowed to say that.
Yes,
I was for a long time.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. I'm trying my best.
Bosco, Melissa, I will show you a monster from Magic the Gathering. You will tell us where you think they are on the Kinsey scale. Zero is exclusively heterosexual. Six is exclusively homosexual. First up, we have Tarmogoyf. To help you decide, we also have quotes from this character. What doesn't grow dies, and what dies grows the Tarmogoyf.
I know the head is crazy. Where does non-binary fall on
Kinsey
scale?
I find no sexuality at all in that.
No, but
that.
I do see a septum piercing.
So we can say,
okay.
We can
there's
say,
no eyebrows.
We can, you know, listen, we can do a three-dimensional plot. We can now leave the XY axis. We can talk about how sexual they are. We could talk about what their gender identity is. There's no rules in this game. Yeah. We can do whatever we want. So we're saying asexual non-binary? Is that seems
yeah,
to be where
this
we
is
yeah.
Who is making oat lattes for me in the morning? Yeah.
This is me when I need an oat latte.
Same.
Yeah. Don't coffee me before I've had my Tarmogoyf.
There you go.
Mean anything. Yeah. Next up, we have, so we're going to say asexual non-binary, just for the ruling there. Next up, we have Omnath, the locus of creation. Landfall, wherever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain four life if this is the first time this ability is resolved this turn. Very sexy. Wow, you need a bunch of different kinds of mana to do this.
You do, but
what a complicated creature.
I believe Omnath has bangers, because it looks like the two fingers are shorter than the others, which I think is going to put her pretty high up on the Kinsey scale.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's very rainbow. What do you think?
You really just passed me that. I have no idea what you're talking about, finger.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. I can't wait for you to go home and Google what bangers are.
Like, oh my God.
So what are we thinking? We're thinking a four? We're thinking a five?
Oh, I'm going six.
Six.
Going
just
six.
Straight, just gay as it can be.
Look at her.
Look at her.
Yeah.
Look at her.
That's...
Look at her.
Bangers. Okay.
I don't know.
Should...
Maybe whisper to Melissa Etheridge what it is.
Okay, absolutely. I'm going to whisper with this mic right here. So bangers are when lesbians have shorter fingernails on their index and pointer.
Oh.
For fingering purposes.
Of course. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
We didn't have a name for that. It was just the way you figured out if
just
someone was gay. You look at their hands, but go ahead.
Love you the way I do.
So yeah. Sure. No fingernails, perhaps a lesbian, one long fingernail, maybe a coke problem.
There that you was go.
It
exactly.
One finger.
Right, for
and
sure.
And so they're okay. Yeah.
Next up, the Hermit Druid. You seek the company of plants to ensure that your wits will go to seed.
Okay,
ooh,
wait.
Look at this. Look at this Hermit Druid.
Oh.
Wait.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay, so I do believe we're giving straight. However, we're giving chaser, which I don't know where that falls on the Kinsey scale.
Right. Well, it's not a zero for sure.
No.
It's not
no.
a six.
I'd say a three or something.
Yeah.
Let's say three. Yeah.
A self-hating three.
Love that. In my DMs, but not willing to go out in public.
Right. Perfect. Right. Yeah. That's, I think, and it's, you know, and it's sad, honestly, for the Hermit Druid, because it's like, there's a happy world out there for you if you can just embrace who you are, right? But then you think it's a druid, and so maybe there's a kind of stoicism to the whole enterprise.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I would say, like, I would find him at Burning Man. He would come to my window. And I do believe that...
You know what? They missed the first one. They got the second one.
Okay. Got it. Perfect. We had to... Hit it one
Reach,
more time.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm giving chaser vibes. So, like, interested in women, but also interested in women.
We're calling it a self-hating three. Next up, the Golgari Grave Troll.
Oh. Look at that queen. That very crypt keeper.
Cindy, this is Bones. Okay.
Yeah.
How gay is this, the Golgari Grave Troll?
I mean, look at that. Look at that waist. Look at the kind of cinched waist.
We are kind of snatched. You're right to say
look
so.
Look at the K. There's a
you're
K.
You're kind of snatched. Okay,
you know,
got
skirt.
It.
Skirt.
We do have the skirt.
Midriff showing.
Kind of looks like the older women when I used to play the bars in Long Beach that would sit at the end of the bar and complain that I was singing too loud.
Wow. Got a very skinny, angry, skeletal bar dwellers. But gay.
Okay.
And then mad about it.
That's a six. Call five or a six. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go six.
Let's give her a six. And let's do one more.
Okay.
Next up, we have the mimeoplasm. The mimeoplasm. There's the mimeoplasm. Legendary creature. It seems to have the power of ooze. The power of ooze, the mimeoplasm.
I do want to say that I've met a barista that's non-binary named Ooze. So I do think that I think we're back on.
Wow, I think you are.
Absolutely.
Wow, okay.
Absolutely. I think that the second O is capitalized instead of the first one. That
No, I think that, no. Nope, shut it down.
Okay.
Second O capitalized?
I think
second
so.
Second O capitalized? Come on.
Power to the people, come on.
Is that why the lesbians threw the brick?
Exactly.
So the second
they're
O
trying
and
to
ooze?
Hit ooze.
So just to wrap it up, we have another non-binary, but I think hypersexual. I think there's a deeply sexual.
Oh, yeah. One of the hands has a tongue. Yeah.
What do they call that?
I'm
that
out. I'm gone.
All right. And that's...
Wow.
Magic the Gathering. When we come back, it's time for Second Thoughts.
Yeah, you just like kind of fill in the blanks, and that's what I do with my toes. I only paint the first three.
You only paint the first three toes. We're back. You only paint your first three toes.
I sure do. A, because I'm lazy. B, because it's messy. And C, I don't like people touching my feet, so I don't like getting pedicures.
Oh.
It's like kind of like when you like are able to read every single word. If the first and the last letter are the same, but all the letters are the same within it. It's all like jumbled. If I paint three toes, everybody just assumes the rest of them are painted.
Wow.
But I know, and that's my secret.
Now it's time for Second Thoughts.
Tell us.
I know how it works. Basically, I have a list here of proposed second thoughts by the producers of this show for things I perhaps should regret having said or done. And I'm going to walk you through them now. And then also I'd like to know what regrets and second thoughts you have about this evening. First up, you know, think about it. Give it a good think. From the monologue, the joke, Sam Bankman, Frida Kahlo. You guys hated that. You just hated that. I've never had a pun basically fly the plane that is this show into a mountain the way it was a different energy in the room after I said that. And I do regret it. Oh, I also at some point referred to my respected coworkers knockers. I did refer to her knockers, and while we did discuss the joke beforehand, it still felt weird to say it. I said to Melissa Etheridge, and I quote, my experience with lesbians. That's how I started a sentence. I said, Melissa Etheridge, let me tell you about my experience with lesbians. Melissa praised her fans, and it did not even occur to me to talk about the fans of this show. Did not even occur to me to suggest, oh, we have great fans here at Love It or Leave It. Mm-hmm. I don't think they could fix a goddamn thing. I feel like in this group, even just look at this group of people who've attended, which I think is a mix of fans and people that are here. I'm not sure we're getting a tire changed. You know what? You know, thank you. I didn't want to suggest it, but there's a competence coming off of you that I felt safe. So that's good. So that's at least two of us, that you and Melissa Etheridge can do it. All right.
Get it done.
For Bosco, I dress like this next to you. How I dress for this show, I have a regret about it. Another regret. I did not invite myself to the Bosco Melissa Etheridge Magic the Gathering game. I just let it happen, and it was just going to transpire without me.
Well, there you go.
Still not invited.
Yep. Nope. I was about to say, sorry. Dress for the job you want.
Yep. Melissa, what's a regret you have about tonight? Or any second thoughts you might have?
I really don't have any regrets, but I don't know.
What do you think about our dynamic?
You and me?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we need to have like a dinner. Yeah, I think we need to. I don't know. I think we need to talk.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was such an interesting energy to it. I'm excited about it. It was portentous. Bosco.
Yes.
What do you have a second thought about? Anything you regret saying or doing tonight?
Any regrets that I have?
Any regrets?
Maybe just subjecting the audience to the raw sexual tension me and Melissa have in this moment.
I was looking at her lovely. This is really impressive. The ink you've got. Yes. Yeah, see, it's just. She's very pretty. I'm sorry.
Very pretty. Very pretty.
No, and I know that's kind of overwhelming and maybe jealousy inducing to the audience here. And I'm really sorry to do that to all of
you. Look at them. They're riven by jealousy. They're overwhelmed by it. The green cloud of jealousy looms on the stage between us. Isn't that right?
Betwixt,
yes. And that's our show.
Yay!
Thank you so much, Melissa Etheridge and Bosco. There are 173 days until the midterms. We will see you back on Friday with Caitlin Riley and Sam Heughan. Until then, have a great night.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.